Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this place is mentioned in the Navadvipa Mahatmya. Navadvipa Mahatmya is a book which was written. It's a book that was written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's significant because the book describes how Jiva Goswami was taken on a parikrama of Navadvip area by Lord Nityananda himself. So that's, of course, what can you say? When Lord Nityananda takes you out, you can understand that you're getting the inside story, but not only that, you can also understand that it's going to be quite ecstatic. That's obvious. So the Navadvipa Mahatmya is describing the glories of Navadvip Dham. It's an amazing book because the thing is, it describes how Sridhar Mayapur, how there the yoga pit is situated in Antardeep, in the center of a lotus, and that then the various islands, up to nine from Navadvip, the nine islands, are just situated in a lotus pattern. So we are now discovering this lotus. We have come here to the island of Gojumdvip. It is especially dedicated to kirtan. So kirtan is an appropriate activity for us today, because that's the predominating service on this island. And here we have come to Suvarna Bihar. It has its name from a king who lived here long ago in the Satya Yuga. At the time, the king was enjoying royal opulence and so on, and was at the same time covered over, because the king was not aware of the transcendental nature of the Holy Dham. And throughout his life, he accumulated wealth and influence and so on, and even in his old age, he was still quite involved with material affairs. But one day, the sage Narada appeared, and Narada simply mentioned to him, he said that simply because you are here in this very fortunate place, although you don't know the very meaning of this place, but this place is none other than the eternal transcendental abode of the Lord. So that is the first mystery, that it seems that we came here by the bus and it was relatively easy, it wasn't that far, just a quick drive around and here we are. But it is not at all an ordinary place. This place is eternal, maybe not exactly the external features of it, but the spiritual feature is eternal. And therefore, Narada explained this to the king and mentioned that although you don't know, this is the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. So in the Kali Yuga, which is now coming after this Satya, after Treta, Dwapara, and so on, Kali Yuga will come. In this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya will appear. And when Lord Chaitanya will appear, because you have spent your life in this holy place, you will also appear as one of his associates. And so it is described that then King Suvarna returned and became one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, known as Budhimanta Khan. Budhimanta Khan was amongst the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Budhimanta Khan was a wealthy zamindar, or a wealthy landholder. And Budhimanta Khan was once engaged in an activity of making a very large pond. And for this activity, he engaged many, many people. So many workers were there, and they were digging, and there was a particular incident that one of the people who were working was not working very nicely, and there was some issue, and I don't know exactly what happened. It's not described, but Budhimanta Khan became upset, and he hit him with a whip somehow, and left a mark. Later on, that person became very influential. He's a Muslim. And later on, he became the Nawab Hussein Shah, or the ruler of West Bengal. So it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that once the wife of the Nawab, she saw this scar on the back of her husband. And she said, "What is this? What is this mark?" He said, "Oh, it's the beating, a beating mark, a beating mark. Yes, it's like once I did some nonsense, and then, you know, I was punished for that, and then got beaten, and that's why I have this scar." No, who has done this? Who has dared? Who has dared to do this? It's okay, nobody. Really not a big deal. She said, no, I want to know who did it. I said, no, I really don't want to make an issue out of this. He said, he could feel that something was coming, you know. And she said, no, I have to know who did it. And so finally he said, like, well, Budhimanta Khan. She said, no, how did he dare to touch you? Budhimanta Khan, who does he think he is? You know, I tell you, he should die. You should just punish him with a death sentence. Finished, you know, for beating your royal self. You know, there are limits, you know. This is intolerable. And so she was insistent and insistent and insistent. So, you know, but he really didn't want to kill Budhimanta Khan. So he's saying, nah, I can't do that. He said, like, you know, well, I guess, you know, I mean, really, if I have to punish him, I could convert him into a Muslim. Which then was done quite easy, because all you had to do was throw some water from a Muslim pot. And, you know, and then, okay, so one day he just did that. And the Muslim, you know, what to do? Salam alaikum. That's right. Yeah, so Budhimanta Khan was then cast out from Hindu society, and what to do next, he didn't know. So he went on a pilgrimage, and he left home, he went to Banaras and consulted some brahmanas and asked what atonement he could perform. And the brahmanas, one brahmana suggested that he would drink hot ghee as a means of purification, which he wasn't so sure about. So he asked another brahmana, who said, no, why would you do such a thing? Just, you know, jump in the Ganga and give up your life. And there were many varieties of purification suggested, but none of them was very appealing. And so Budhimanta Khan left Varanasi and continued his journey to Vrindavan, where he engaged in the service of the pilgrims who would come. That service was his purification. purification. Anyway, so meanwhile, this place, as I said, was a very famous place, and at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Ganges was following a very different course than today. And it said that just somewhere behind here was the place where the Ganges was flowing, and the whole area up to here was Navadvip. So Navadvip now is quite far, right? But at that time Navadvip was practically here, and the crossing was just behind Suvarnabihar. So the Ganga moved quite a bit in that time. And here, Lord Chaitanya would sometimes come. On one occasion, Lord Nityananda came here with Srivas, and then Lord Nityananda began to explain the whole story of how the king Suvarna became Budhimanta Khan and like this. And then at the end, Srivas, when he heard this whole story, he became very ecstatic, and Srivas started to dance. Because Srivas, when he heard that it was Narada Muni who had bestowed the mercy upon this king of Suvarna, on King Suvarna, Srivas himself, he is a partial manifestation of Narada Muni. So he's not other than Narada Muni. It is said that when Srivas was a young man, that there was a period in his life when Srivas was not exactly behaving like a Vaishnava, if you know what I mean. Srivas would party this way and that way and sort of, you know, try out a few things that Vaishnavas generally don't try. Anyway, but one day an astrologer gave a warning and said, "Oh Srivas, you're wasting your life. But know that you have only one more year to live, and that exactly from today, within 1 year, you will give up your life." So Srivas was shocked, and it changed his life completely, and he took up devotional service and he became very serious. So 1 year later, he was in a house on the first floor listening to a Bhagavatam lecture of Devananda Pandit. But during the lecture, he suffocated and he couldn't breathe, so he went on the balcony to get some air. But when he was on the balcony, he became dizzy, and as he became dizzy, he just fell over the railing, and he was just going straight down. When somewhere, out of nowhere, someone came who caught him mid-air and then put him on the ground. And then that person disappeared. It is said when Srivas was saved in that way and put down on the ground, just at that moment, the spirit of Narada Muni entered into him. He sort of became aware. And the next day, he went home. He was brought home, and the next morning he got up. And then he read one scripture, one Upanishad, the Kali Santara Upanishad. And there he read this verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Kivana, Kaluna, Stevena, 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 Kapila, Yuta. So that only the chanting of the holy name, only the chanting of the holy name, and only the chanting of the holy name is the only means by which we can attain perfection in this age of Kali. So then Srivas became deeply, deeply inspired about this, about the chanting of the holy name. So Narada Muni had bestowed his mercy upon the king, had preached to him, had explained to him what the real goal of life was, and blessed him to appear in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now that same Narada Muni in the form of Srivas was here, and now Nityananda told him the whole story. So when he heard that story, then Srivas just being Narada at the same time, became ecstatic and started to dance in ecstasy. Then Lord Nityananda danced in ecstasy, and suddenly Lord Chaitanya was also there, dancing in ecstasy. And in this way, all the Vaishnavas here were dancing in great ecstasy in this place of Suvarna Bihar. Just outside, in the back where the Tulsi is, there are some columns which they claim are part of that palace of Maharaj Suvarna. This place is furthermore, it is actually reclaimed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because many places described in the Navadvipa Mahatmya are not known. But this particular place, it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who once was in this area and defined this place as Suvarna Bihar and told the devotees that they had to buy this land. Yeah, and they bought this land. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a very transcendental vision of the Holy Dham. Once next to the Chaitanya Mat, which was his seat, or the place where he stayed, he wanted to have the land next door because he said that was the place where Gorakund used to be. And he wanted again to excavate that kund, which he did. And so they bought that land, but then they didn't have money to buy the land, so what in the end they did is they swapped some other land and then got this land. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, how could you swap this land? How could you swap this land? He said, I also had plans for that other land. That also was also a very transcendental place. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying that he had a desire to gradually reveal the transcendental nature of the entire Dham Sridhar Mayapur to the world. So here in Suvarna Bihar, he did that. So that's, what can I say? That is his great mercy and grace. It is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who are gradually bringing us Sridhar Mayapur, gradually make us aware of the glories of this holy dawn. Now I should have some kirtan.
Otherwise, I have a few minutes kirtan and then we'll carry on.
So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote that book, the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, which reveals to us all the various places of Navadvipa Mandal. But there is another book which the Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, which is a little less known, but equally important, actually. And that book is known as the Navadvipa Bhava Taranga. And basically, that book describes the same places. It also takes us on a parikrama through the Holy Dham, just as the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya. But the difference is, this time Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not describing the nature of the places, but he's describing what is happening to him while he's visiting these places. That's why it's called Bhava Taranga. Navadvipa Bhava Taranga means waves of ecstasy, or waves of mellows, waves of emotional experience. So in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing there his internal experience. So here in this Suvarna Bihar, the highlight was the moment where Srivas actually remembered work. Srivas, who is that expansion of Narada Muni, but by the mercy of Nityananda, where Srivas actually remembered how he had enlightened this Maharaj Suvarna and instructed him in transcendental knowledge, and then upon hearing that, how he became overwhelmed by the greatest ecstasy and danced in the greatest ecstasy. So in this way, this place, it is a place of dance.
dancing in ecstasy. We didn't do it yet because it's just after breakfast. So I know it's hard to start up the engines, but at least in the mind we can meditate for a moment that spirit is reflected here in this place. So then we'll carry on. On the way we will drive past Amgat. We will not stop there this time. We'll just see the sign and offer pranams on the way. It is a place where Lord Chaitanya manifested mango trees for the devotees. The devotees that were engaged in Harinam Sankirtan, to give them a little bit of energy, Lord Chaitanya arranged for this tree that would produce mangoes, and somehow or other these mangoes had no seeds and no skin, and they were also not covered in flies, by the mercy of the Lord. And they were very juicy and very tasty. And there were unlimited quantities of them for unlimited devotees at any season, any time of the year. We'll drive past. I didn't see such mangoes now. What to do? If anybody sees, let us know and we will stop. But, otherwise, we'll drive past and continue our journey to Hari Kshetra, where there's a deity which is of both Hari and Hara, or which is both, is half Lord Vishnu and half Lord Shiva. And how that is happening, we will discuss once we're there in that place.
Hari Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, Suvarna Bihar Ki Jai, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anand Kripa Swami.